Because a lot of times, and this goes in any relationship, is safety is what matters, right? If they don't feel safe, they're not going to talk at all. And so for children, it's important to just kind of stay at eye level. And, you know, sometimes when they're younger, physically lower yourself. The posture, I always say our words can say one thing, but if the posture of our heart is different. So if you say, I'm here for you, but they know that you're not really there. So words matter. The posture of your heart truly matters to be able to really help them feel safe.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with our latest Family Time episode on the PSR podcast, which is a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. Now, our Family Time episodes are short, practical conversations to help parents feel more confident and competent in raising kids according to God's design, even in a sex-saturated culture. In this episode of Family Time, I sit down with Norm McHugh Brown, our family care director, in the first of a three-part series to explore how parents can respond thoughtfully rather than react impulsively to their children. Norma shares some practical tools like pausing, naming emotions, and shifting to shame-free language. We also dig into the difference between engaging and evading difficult conversations, reminding parents that connection always comes before correction. So whether you're navigating spilled juice or tough questions about sexuality, this episode offers real, grace-filled guidance to help you build stronger, more trusting relationships with your kids. For all of our family resources, visit bebroken.org/family, or you can check out the links that we're going to put in today's show notes for specific resources and next steps related to today's topic. And of course, friends, I'm always going to ask you to rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now let's dive into today's Family Time conversation with Norma. Well, all right. We have back with us Norm McHugh Brown. So Norma, how are you doing today?
I am well. I'm excited to be here again and do this.
Yeah. So listeners and viewers, what that means is it's family time because Norma is our family care director and we're doing these periodic short segments for parents to really help you navigate the sexualized culture in which we're living in and do that with confidence and competence when it comes to God's design. Now, today's topic, Norma, is actually beneficial like for parents in sort of all situations, for couples. Maybe it's even just good for humans. But there is still very good application when it comes to dealing with difficult topics like sexuality and body and all of those kinds of things. But talk about why this issue of learning how to respond and engage is so important for parents.
Yeah, so we've been doing the critical conversations for Family Time. You can listen to the previous episodes that we've had. And it dawned on me that we're asking parents to have these serious conversations, these conversations that are meant to engage and to bond parent and child. Yet sometimes, a lot of times, parents don't know how to respond to certain situations, to questions being asked. There's a lot of reaction, right? So if a child asks a certain question, it's just like, wait, why are you thinking that? Why are you doing that? Who does that? And a lot of those responses shut our children down. And so this is why we are like, okay, it is important that not only we provide ways how to communicate the topics to children, but then also equipping how to do it as well. So, and I am not coming here as an expert, but I am coming here as a person who has learned. I have a 17-year-old, so I've learned a lot, and I've always had a willing heart to grow in this area. So that's...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and sometimes I will just say this from my own experience in ministry, Norma. Most of the times people that have trusted me, it's not because I have any letters after my name and I don't have any letters after my name. It's because I've walked the path. So you're a parent, you're walking this path. You're actually applying what you're teaching. And so can you talk to us a little bit about the difference between reacting versus responding? Like, what are we talking about there?
Yeah. So when we react to something, it's usually impulsive. We have an emotional reaction, right? There's like an emotion that happens. We get angry, we get embarrassed. And then a lot of times the things that we do or even say are unintentional. So we'll say something that we didn't mean to say or regret to say after. That would be a reaction. A response is more when we respond, we pause. What we're saying is a lot more thoughtful. And there is more self-control in how we're delivering the message.
Can you start to maybe give us some examples, and then we'll talk about maybe some practical tools of, okay, how do you actually get better at responding versus just reacting? Because probably when you said that, maybe a few parents are going, oh man, yeah, there are some times that just stuff flies out of my mouth, or my face does certain things, or even my hands or my arms. So what are some examples of maybe, you know, reaction versus responding?
So for example, like for younger children, if there's times that we tell our children like, oh, make sure you're holding the bottle with two hands, right? Make sure you hold, and we sound like a broken record. We say it a lot. And then all of a sudden the child still holds it with one and the juice spills and it's all over the place. And our inclination would be to yell, right? To I told you, blah, 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 blah. And so, again, it isn't important that that we sometimes just breathing, just pause, take a breath, and be able to assess the situation. We can still talk to them about it. I'm not saying dismiss the behavior or the disobedience aspect of it, but there are, because how we respond to a child, it threads throughout our relationship. It's not just for that moment. It's not just for that incident. It's something that, okay, they know mom or dad reacts this way when something, whatever that is, fill in the blank.
Yeah, it has huge implications to what kind of bond is being created between the parent and child, right? And it starts to create patterns. So if the pattern is when I fail, dad blows up. Well, guess what? I'm gonna try to hide my failures. I'm gonna try to not be around. I'm not gonna share. I'm gonna feel scared. You know, so it goes way beyond just like you said, the moment or what needs to be taught. Can you talk about some practical tools? Like, how can we get better at responding rather than reacting?
Yeah. So I mentioned one of these is the literal pausing, right? Pausing. There's, for me, what I've learned is to sometimes just think, or, you know, I do it too, or say something to myself that will just help me pump the brakes and not just be reactive. Or it's funny how a lot of the children cartoons say, count to 10 or do this or do that. And we as parents hear it, you know, we hear it all the time. And sometimes it's, but we never try it, right?
Exactly. So,
we expect our kids to be like, count to 10, count to 10. And it's just like, we never sit there. And I promise you that at least if you go up to 3, not even 10 in your head, right? Our reaction, we will not react the way we can react at times. And so that's those are two very practical things that we can do to help achieve a better response. And just one thing that I did want to mention is that when we, whatever we do, when we react to our children, just know that it shapes their heart, right? There's a greater impact to our children. To your point, I love the example that you gave of like, when I'm a failure, when I fail at something, this is what happens. And they start believing that when it's not necessarily true.
And sometimes, especially in a Christian home, then if I've seen pornography or I looked at something on my phone that I know my parents would not approve of, I'm much more likely to say, well, guess I can only imagine what the reaction would be like if I actually said that to them. So these are foundational elements of building a strong bond with your kid when we learn to respond. So you said the first thing is just pause, like literally in time and space, take a breath, pause, count to 3. What else helps us to be better responders?
Yeah. And in that pause, it is important to name like what is happening internally. a lot of times it's easy for us to say, you know, they spilled the juice. I've said it so many times, but really there's a frustration, right? There's feeling disrespected. Whatever's happening within us, I think it is important for us to be able to process, because that will give us that time to respond differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, it just creates space between how what you're feeling to what you're actually delivering. And that's what we want. We want that space to be able to, okay, not be so impulsive.
And some of this is just brain science too. It's like, hey, the back brain, the lower brain is what reacts. And what we're trying to do is we're saying, and that takes the front brain offline. Front brain is about reasoning, control, stop, you know, being able to kind of slow things down. And what we want to do is we want to say, hey, I'm not going to ignore what just happened in my back brain, my lower brain, but I got to bring my front brain online. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that pause allows us to kind of have that healthy detachment that says, okay, in my soul, in my heart, I'm feeling some things, but I've got to take an action here that is not going to break the bond, that's not going to harm the relationship. And that's where then you can bring front brain online and go, okay, I can act in a different way than how maybe my back brain is telling me to react.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And again, it we become responsible of our reaction, which is what we want, right? We're not trying to control the situation at that moment. We're trying to see, okay, is this reaction even warranted? There's so many times, even for myself, where I look back and I'm like, that was not even that serious, right? The moment it felt like that and I reacted a certain way, but looking back is like, in the grand scheme of things, that wasn't all that. So.
And then what are some things, like, how can we even change our language, like what we say, or maybe even what we're saying? You talked about a little bit of what we're saying to ourselves, right? In terms of, okay, let me pause for a second. But what are some good ways to even change how we're going to speak in those moments?
Yeah. So a lot of times is, you know, we have like, what is wrong with you? Or who does that? Like those that are shame-filled, right? Shame-filled expressions. But instead, we could just say, let's pause for a second, or time out. Because a lot of times it's like I'm giving myself permission to have a timeout, you know? So it's, I'll help clean it up with you, you know? And then you could have more of a conversation later. This is why we say, I've been asking you to do it with two hands, hold it with two hands. But prior to that, the child already feels embarrassed, probably afraid. There's already a lot of guilt that a child, if they spill all the juice or whatever, watches something, there's already a lot of shame that the, you know, enemy uses those opportunities to infiltrate their identity. And it's like, we should be more allies with them and help them through the process. And again, I'm not dismissing, not discipline or anything like that, but there's a time and place for that. And it shouldn't be when we're angry and ready to.
And sometimes, like even with the juice example, you're talking about a kid that's probably just, I mean, they're all over the map in terms of mentally and attention and all these kinds of things. 9 times out of 10, what happens is then when they've been holding it with one hand and they spill it, in that moment, they go, a lot of times their brain comes online where they go, oh yeah, I broke a rule here. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to really necessarily reinforce it at that moment. It's more of like coming around them and going, yep, you know, there's a mess here now. What are we going to do about it? And later you might be able to say, like you said, do you see why mom is telling you all the time to put both hands on that? So that it's framed in after you've come alongside, bonded, helped, had them take responsibility, all that, then you can get back to the rule. Sometimes our reaction is we're only focused on the rule, only focused on how you failed. And it's like, you're never going to get to repair. It's like, right, we got to put repair before reinforcing the rule, is what I'm hearing you say is how to respond.
Yes. And often when we just react to things, at some point, our kids can become more behavioral. Like, we'll get the outcome, right? But a lot of times we're losing their heart in the process, or even their respect toward us. They'll do things, but it's more robotic and not necessarily because of the bond and relationship we have. It's more, I have to cross a, you know, check off the boxes and make sure I'm doing everything, and it becomes very performance-based.
So now we've looked at the difference between reacting and responding, but there's another component here that sort of really dovetails, kind of weaves in with this. And that is the difference between what you call engaging or evading. Can you help us understand what that is and kind of how it dovetails with this idea of responding versus reacting?
Yeah. And so I just want to show a quick picture. I'm actually using the word respond to, today we're doing the R and the E for, which is learning the difference between responding and reacting. And then the E would be engage over evade. And then the next, we'll do the rest of the letters. But I just kind of wanted to make sure you were aware of what this is about. So engage over evade is avoidance sometimes feels easier, right? It feels easier. But a lot of times it damages the connection. And so when we evade is we either ignore a child's behavior, ignore their questions, we change the subject, we're dismissive. And a lot of times a child can emotionally shut down when they don't feel that support from a parent.
Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, this is a big one for me because I am conflict avoidant. I mean, I do not like conflict. And if there's one thing that will always arise in a family, is there's conflict, there's disagreement, there's people don't always see eye to eye, whether it's between the mom and the dad or whether it's between the parent and the child. And so this idea of avoidance is a very familiar feeling to me, but also I've recognized that it can be really damaging and dangerous if there's a sense of like being dismissive or not really kind of tackling what needs to be addressed.
For sure. There, it results in disconnect, right? Sometimes confusion on the child's part. It also leaves a lot of issues unresolved. And so those are the things that we are trying to avoid, because loneliness can even come. A child can feel lonely when they're like, okay, well, maybe I'm not important enough, or maybe, again, things just that children start, because they tend to personalize a lot of things that we do or we say, those are some of the things, aftermath that can happen with when we evade, when we are more dismissive towards our children.
Yeah, because think about what is absolutely basic to just being a human being from the time you are born. There is just curiosity, right? Kids, you know, infants, toddlers, you know, elementary, throughout our whole lives, there's a curiosity, but it's really intense in childhood. And if basically here's this curious child that is just, everything is new. And if the parent is then saying, whatever, I'm not going to engage, I'm not going to, you know, or be dismissive, like, listen, you've asked that same question 1,000 times, which, by the way, what's the number one question that kids ask through their whole childhood? Why? You know, so it can be easy to then get to a point where it's like, I'm tired of hearing the why question and just dismiss. So what does engaging look like versus the idea of evading or avoiding topics or avoiding your child?
Yeah, a lot of it is leaning into the conversation. So one, I can't even remember where I heard this, but it always stuck with me, where it's like, be interested in what your child is interested in, because one day you're going to want them, even like, let's just say Lego or I don't know, cars or something that, or a sport that really disinterests me or whatever. If they're interested in, lead into that conversation, lean into their curiosity, lean into what's going on in their world. Because when they become teenagers, we're going to want to be part of that world. And if they're not used to us being part of that world because we were dismissive as a child when they were younger, they're not going to know what it is to include us in the teenage years. So it is important that, and if you have teenagers now and they're like, oh my gosh, I haven't included my kids or been in their world all these years, it's not too late. And you can always apologize and say, hey, listen, I didn't know this. I didn't know any better. I would love to start this now. And we can start small.
Yeah, humility goes a long way towards making repair at any stage in your parent-child relationship. Even if your kids are grown and there's a sense in which you need to go back and repent and say, listen, I made some huge mistakes and I want to try to repair and have a closer relationship. You can do it at any point. What else does it look like to engage, and what are some practical tools around engaging with your child?
Yeah, so staying present in the moment, inviting for dialogue to just begin conversation with them. A lot of times, parents are like, well, they still don't want to talk to me. They still continue. Like, you never know, one day might surprise you and they're like, oh, you know. Also, some sayings, I'm like, when you feel comfortable talking about this, sometimes that alone, the child feels respected because you're not like trying to pry them open, but at the same time, giving them that safety. Because a lot of times, and this goes in any relationship, is safety is what matters, right? If they don't feel safe, they're not going to talk at all. And so for children, it's important to just kind of stay at eye level. And sometimes when they're younger, physically lower yourself. The posture, I always say our words can say one thing, but if the posture of our heart is different, so if you say, I'm here for you, but they know that you're not really there. So words matter, the posture of your heart truly matters to be able to really help them feel safe. And then use openers, like, help me understand what happened, rather than, why did you do that, right? Or share what you're thinking or feeling. One thing that is important is just to stay curious, not critical. And I think that's hard for parents, right? For parents who are like, I always find it funny how, like, when they're prior to 1 year old, everything's like, yay, you pooped, yay, you know, everything is a praise. And all of a sudden, no, stop, you know? So I can't imagine what happens to the psyche of children, to go from like being praised for absolutely everything to all of a sudden being yelled at for everything.
Yeah. And that curiosity is a big one because, like you said earlier, learning to be interested in what they're interested in, not saying that you're going to necessarily have the same level of interest, and also realize that a lot of times kids go through different phases, right? They go through their, I'm dating myself, but they go through their Star Wars phase, and then they go through their, even like what you said, Legos or whatever. But the idea is being present. The other thing I was going to say is when you talked about just kind of staying at it, like, hey, just stay with it. One word that I have just almost eliminated from my vocabulary is consistent, because I'm anything but consistent, but I can be persistent. So it's like, I want to encourage parents, don't try to think that you can be consistent. Like, hey, I'm always going to be at a 10 and I'm always going to be able. No. We fluctuate just like our kids fluctuate. But can we persist? Can we say engaging is worth it because it's about the relational bond that I'm creating with my kid, and I don't want to avoid them? So as we are going through this word respond, and we've tackled the R and the E, can you kind of just give us a little bit of a recap on what we were trying to really hone in on today? And then what's the takeaway? What's the challenge that you're going to leave the parents with? Kind of some homework that they can do on these two letters.
Mm-hmm. So one of the keys is that it's important to have connection before correction, right? We want to connect with our children. The R is basically pause instead of react, right? We're trying to respond. And then E, we're trying to lead into the child rather than avoid. And so one challenge that I would leave parents is to give the gift at least one opportunity. Like, God's going to give you a lot of opportunities just this week to be able to exemplify self-control, to be able to engage with your child, to be able to respond and not react. He's going to give you opportunities. And that's one thing to reframe, that they are opportunities, not, oh gosh, here he goes again, misbehaving, or she's doing this, she's doing that. But these are opportunities for us to model Christ-like behavior. And so choose one thing, one moment to pause, choose one moment to engage. And so challenge yourself to at least find one thing to engage and one thing to pause about when your children are doing something.
And what's good about this, Norm, is so many times just being able to hear what we've been talking about and put it into your mind will sometimes help you to think about it when those situations come up. I'm pretty certain that everybody who's listened to this podcast to this point will have, like you said, plenty of opportunities, even if it is just for awareness in the next week. Maybe they don't, maybe we don't respond well, maybe we don't engage well, but at least we recognize the moment where we go, boom, I just had that outburst. Mm-hmm. I just reacted. Okay, well, maybe now I can come back and repair and respond. So Norma, where can our listeners and viewers go to just learn more about some of the resources that we have in our family care ministry to help them engage some of these types of conversations?
Yeah, so we have the Critical Conversation Family Time that you can go back. Also sign up for our newsletter. We sent out monthly, just once a month, newsletters of just things like this, where it's like that will help you grow as a parent and as an individual and your relationship with Christ. Because ultimately, I think that's the end all be all, where this is helping us to be more Christ-like. And in being more Christ-like, we become better parents.
That's so good. Well, Norma, I always enjoy having these conversations with you. So thanks for being with us.
Same. Thank you.
Yeah. So listeners and viewers, what we really try to do in these family time conversations is guide you towards some really practical application in how you are seeking to relate and raise your kids into this world. And so we want to help you take your next best step in that journey. So please reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care. Do you get frustrated with porn filters that block too much or too little? Let me introduce you to Plucky, a new filter that you customize. Here's how it works. You set your own boundaries, deciding which websites are and aren't safe for you. If you're thinking, I'm not sure I can trust myself all the time, Plucky is made for you. It enforces the boundaries that you set, and it enforces them with steel, so you can't self-sabotage when tempted. Plucky puts your best self in control. People in over 100 countries use Plucky. Pricing is on a sliding scale, so it's affordable for everyone. For a free 30-day trial with no sign-up required, go to pluckyfilter.com. Take courage, take control, get Plucky.